Good morning. This is Pat Githens, pastor of Genesis Baptist Fellowship in Lubbock. And due to a glitch in the radio station's computer last week, we didn't get to visit at our regular time. The program did air at 10 a.m., and I understand such things happen from time to time in the radio business, but I did get an interesting call following that late broadcast last week. A man called and wanted me to check out a website concerning a flat earth. So, out of courtesy to the caller, I checked it out. But I was sure that a flat earth theory had been disproven in 1492 when Columbus sailed the ocean to the New World and didn't fall off the earth. Well, this morning I do want to address the subject of the creation in Genesis chapter 1. In verse 1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, we look at this again, and that's a profound statement. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he makes no effort to prove that statement, but leaves it to the reader to either believe it to be true or reject it. Well, certainly I have no trouble in believing it, because everything created exists because of the one who created it. That which is created is owned by the one who created it. Now let's look at the sentence again and ask this question. God created when? Well, the answer is in the beginning. Now let us ask another question. The beginning of what? Eternity has no beginning, nor does it have an end. Therefore, the word beginning pertains to time. So, God created time, and we have the beginning of time here in this verse. So then God created the heavens, the universe that is, and the earth in the beginning of time. Now Webster's New World Dictionary defines time as a system of duration. And since the Bible tells us that there will be an end to time, the duration of time will be from the beginning to the end. How was time measured in the beginning? Well, the same way that it is measured now. And how will it be measured up to the end? The same way it's being measured now, each day being 24 hours in duration. In verse 2, the scriptures read, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So the earth was without form and void. In other words, God had not yet shaped the earth nor the universe. It was just simply empty. Nothing existed. It didn't become void. It was void. Now some teach that a gap exists between verse 1 and verse 2. God created the universe and the earth in verse 1, and something destroyed that creation. Supposedly, the devil took out his wrath upon it. And the earth lay in ruin, perhaps millions, possibly billions of years, according to their theory, before God began the recreation of the earth in verse 2. Now, why is this taught? Well, because it makes room for an evolutionary process to take place. And it's unfortunate that many Christians fall into this trap and give room for this evolutionary process, so to speak, when a gap is not at all necessary. Then we see that the earth was covered with darkness, and once God shaped the earth, darkness covered it. So he said, "Let there be light." And then in verse 3, God divided the light and the darkness, calling the light day and the darkness night, verses 4 and 5. Now, "And the evening and the morning was the first day." So already we see the rotation of time. We have an evening, we have a morning. That's the first day. And notice that that day is on that 24-hour rotation system. Just like today, we have a day and we have a night. And we see that same rotation for day 2. We also see it for day 3. There is not yet any people on the earth, but something happens on day four, which is still on that same 24-hour rotation. God puts lights in space on the fourth day for signs, seasons, and for days and years. In other words, when man is created on the sixth day, he'll be able to tell time by the days and nights, which turn to months and years. And he can keep up with the seasons just as we can today. We only know how old we are because we can keep up with the years. We know when the summer season ends that the fall season begins, and the winter season follows and leads into the spring season, all because we can keep up with the passing of time. As God is timeless, he created time for the benefit of man. Now let's move on to day six of this creation week in verses 24 through 28. In those verses, you would read that God created all of the animal life that would dwell on the earth, after which he made man and woman on that same sixth day. Now, we have all heard the tales of dinosaurs roaming the earth millions of years ago. Some date man back a million or so years ago. And it all makes interesting reading in the school textbooks, but it's far from the truth of what the Bible teaches. So let's ask another question. How old is man? Again, your textbooks in the schools and what you see sometimes on television when they find a new bone, they'll say a million plus years old. But the Bible teaches us that Adam was the very first man to walk on this planet Earth. There was no pre-Adamic race. The Bible says Adam was the first man. And so the genealogies that we have in the Bible, you know, the begats and the begots that people do not like to read, but they have a very significant purpose. Fact of the matter is, if you have trouble going to sleep at night, you can pick up your Bible and read the begats and the begots. They're in Genesis chapter 5 or over in Matthew. And soon you'll be in La La Land. But they do have a very significant purpose. And so those genealogies can trace Adam to the time of Jesus Christ when he was here on earth as 4,000 years. 4,000 years from Adam to Christ. And from the time of Christ until the present time, it's been approximately 2,000 years, a little over perhaps. So therefore, the human race is approximately 6,000 years old, not millions, 6,000 years old. Now remember that Adam and Eve were made on the sixth day of the creation week. Now the same week that God created the earth, we're living on an earth that is approximately 6,000 years old. He started on day one, and by the time he gets to day six on this 24-hour rotation day, he creates man. So man is included in that first seven-day week of creation. And so it is that then the earth is approximately 6,000 years old. Now, I know this goes against the grain of the evolutionist and many of the scientists of today, but nevertheless, I'm confident that the Word of God is correct, and I will take the biblical account of creation over anything that the textbooks teach contrarywise. Well, what about dinosaurs? A few years ago, there was a big craze about dinosaurs, and how old are dinosaurs? Well, they obviously were land creatures. I don't think anybody would deny that this morning. And the Bible says all the land creatures were created on the sixth day. That's the same day that Adam and Eve were created, and that was 6,000 years approximately. 6,000 years ago. So the dinosaurs would be also about 6,000 years old. And I know that this again goes against the theory of evolution and the teaching of so-called science today. Well, years ago, my son was probably in the fourth or fifth grade, and the craze then was about dinosaurs and one thing and another, and the teacher was teaching them and asking them this question, how old are dinosaurs? And of course, they had been told millions of years old. And he spoke up and he said, well, my daddy says they're 6,000 years old. And she says, but we don't believe that, do we? And he said, well, I do. And so I told him, I said, son, there's times that you have to pretend to be ignorant in order to get passed on to the next grade. So you just take what they're teaching in the school and you learn that so you can pass the test and get promoted when school's out so you go into the next grade the next year. And we solved that crisis in a hurry. But I said, the biblical account will always be correct. Don't you ever forget that. So we have, in the beginning, God creating the heavens and the earth. Now, that's either accepted by faith or it's rejected in unbelief. And if a person chooses to reject it, then he or she also rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the creator of all things. In the book of John, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the Bible reads, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now again, you can reject that in unbelief, or you can accept it as biblical truth, for God is true, His Word is true, and by faith we accept it as absolute truth. And you can reject it, as I said, and go on. But when you reject that, you're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the creator of all things. So there's no such thing as a Christian evolutionist. For an evolutionist who rejects the biblical account of creation also rejects Jesus Christ, who the Bible says, in the beginning, He created all things that were ever made. Without Him was not anything made that was made. So, my friends, it comes down to this morning. To reject Jesus Christ is to reject eternal life. And the theory of evolution is a sure road to hell. Now, that's plain and simple. If you're a true blue evolutionist and you're rejecting the biblical account of creation, you're on a sure road to hell this morning. And I realize many of our Christian teachers find themselves in a dilemma when they have to teach what the textbook they have teaches. However, I do believe they can take a moment and says there's another side of this story. This is the evolutionist side, but the Bible tells of a creation side. Now, they might get in trouble for that, but I'd rather get in trouble than to keep spewing out a falsehood, because evolution is an unfounded theory. It never has been proven to be accurate. It never will be. Well, that's about all the time we're going to have for the broadcast this morning. I do thank you for joining in. And I'd like to close with a few words about Genesis Baptist Fellowship. We're located at 4212 East 2nd in Lubbock. Now, that's two blocks east of the Loop. Turn off on 4th Street, go east to the first paved road, past the city limit sign, turn left, go down to the stop sign, turn right, and you'll come down and see our sign. And that's where we are. Not the prettiest neighborhood in the world, but it's a safe neighborhood despite the looks, and also we have some wonderful, wonderful people. One saved last week, two coming for baptism, and we had some families visiting. So it's growing slowly but surely, not a large church, but it's a Bible preaching church, and I believe you would enjoy it if you like straightforward Bible teaching and preaching. Sunday school 9:45, morning worship service at 10:45, and our evening service on Sundays 5 p.m. We do have a 7 p.m. Bible study on Wednesday evenings. Also, one other reminder, we will have our fall festival this year, November the 7th, from 1 until 3:30. Keep that in mind. Well, until we meet again next week at this same time, this is Pat Githens saying to you and yours, have a great day.